I was told never to preach while angry. I got angry this week when someone sent me an article from the January 2009 Telegraph newspaper in England. It seems that in that month, a Church of England vicar in West Sussex ordered a 10-foot-high resin sculpture of Christ crucified removed from the outside of his church. The crucifix, he sounded off, expresses suffering, torment, pain, and anguish. It is a scary image, particularly for children. It is not a suitable image for the outside of a church wanting to welcome worshipers. In fact, it's a real put-off. He continued, "We're all about hope, encouragement, joy of the Christian faith. We want to communicate good news, not bad news. So we need a more uplifting and inspiring symbol than an execution on a cross." So he replaced it with a bare, ultra-modern, stainless steel cross. Now that vicar apparently had an aversion to crucifixes. And while he has no problem with a barren, empty cross, it seems he does not like one with our Lord hanging on it. And if we are to follow that vicar's warped thinking, a crucifix is a scary, unsuitable, unwelcoming thing. It is the opposite of hope and joy, and it is, in his words, bad news. Where does one even begin? Well, let me begin with St. Paul in the epistle. We preach Christ crucified, stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles, but to us who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Some of you, like me, grew up in churches that taught that it was somehow inappropriate to picture Jesus on the cross. We were told that a bare cross represented a living, risen Jesus, and that the crucified Christ was a symbol of defeat, a depiction of events a long time ago and certainly over and gone. And I heard things like, "Jesus isn't on the cross anymore, he's ascended to heaven, so why emphasize his death?" And I suppose it's for that reason that the church I grew up in didn't have Good Friday services either. But first, some history. The crucifix, contrary to what I was taught, is not some sort of medieval Roman Catholic invention. The earliest depictions of the cross that we have, painted on the walls of the catacombs, is like the cross that we have over the altar. Christ the great king, dressed in the vestments of a priest, and we must never forget that our Lord was a priest, reigning gloriously from the tree. That's the earliest. Later, it became the custom to depict the suffering Christ hanging on the cross, and this was during the Dark Ages, and you can perhaps understand why a suffering Christ was a more powerful and potent symbol to the people of that time. And it was only later, during the iconoclastic frenzy that was the Continental Reformation, that not only crucifixes, but anything of beauty, stained glass, images, were stripped from the churches. And this was a radical departure and disruption from what had gone ahead for 1,500 or so years. No longer was the church a place where one could worship God in the beauty of holiness and the holiness of beauty, but in whitewashed surroundings. And if there must be a cross in the church, it should be as sterile and as barren as the building itself. So why did the English reformers not go down that dark road? Why are we proud to proclaim and to mount Christ crucified? Let's start by recognizing that the Catholic tradition, of which Anglicanism is a part, emphasizes both the crucifixion and the resurrection, not minimizing or downplaying one for the other. In our manger scenes, in our stained glass windows, we also depict our Lord as a baby in the manger, as a toddler in his mother's arms, as a young man teaching the rabbis in the temple, and each one of the stages of our Lord's life are worthy of depiction. But the focal point and the purpose of Christ's enfleshment as a man, of the incarnation, is his ministry and his death on the cross. As he himself said, "For this was I born, and for this have I come into the world." And Archbishop Fulton Sheen summarized the reason for using a crucifix instead of a barren cross when he said, "Keep your eyes on the crucifix, for Jesus without the cross is a man without a mission, and a cross without Jesus is a burden without a reliever." And isn't it true that when you do see an empty cross, your mind automatically sees Jesus there? We recognize the cross only has meaning because Christ died on it for our salvation. We want to avoid what St. Paul talked about, that the cross be emptied of its power. Christ's supreme act was to die on the cross in satisfaction for our sins and the sin of the whole world. And his resurrection is proof that what he did on the cross worked. He conquered death. And it demonstrated beyond any doubt that he is who he claimed to be, namely God. It is the crucifixion that changed history. And the resurrection demonstrates the efficacy of that act. And that is why Christ crucified is such a potent reminder of what he did on that dark Calvary afternoon. We cannot preach Jesus' resurrection without also preaching his crucifixion. How can we worship the risen Jesus without also worshiping the crucified Jesus? Of course, we cannot. And not only that, the cross is the pattern of our lives as Christians. As our Lord tells us, "If anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow." True enough, resurrection and glory await those who follow Christ faithfully. But that comes by traveling the dark road of the cross. And that's why in Galatians, St. Paul cries out, "Far be it from me to glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Now, on the wall behind me here, I know it's kind of hard to see because of my big head, is a crucifix. And it was brought back from Europe by the late George Cleveland on his return from the Second World War. And a note on the back of this cross says, "Eschweiler, Germany, March 1945. Eschweiler, I looked it up, is a suburb of Aachen, near the German-Dutch-Belgian frontier. And Anne Cleveland once told me that George found it in the ruins of a bombed-out church in that city. Now, what a potent reminder hangs behind me. What an outward and visible sign of a profound spiritual truth for you to see every week. Above all the pain and torment in the world, over the battlefield of war, over the battlefield of life, over the sickbed, over the grave, over pain and distress, towering over the wrecks of time, is Christ crucified and his passionate and unconditional love and mercy for you and for all of mankind. Christ crucified is not scary. He is not unwelcoming. Indeed, on the cross, we see the King of Glory with his arms outstretched on the hard wood of the cross, that all might come within the reach of his saving embrace. That silly vicar got it all wrong. The cross, Christ crucified, is the very picture of hope and joy. And it is the most suitable image for a welcoming church. One way to deepen your appreciation of the crucifix is to remember what Christ did for you by praying in front of one and reading the gospel accounts of his passion. And here's another thing you could do right here and right now. You can ponder these poignant words written by the English priest and poet Henry Oxenham. He writes this: "Victim of love in manhood's prime, thou wilt ascend the cross to die. Why hangs the child before his time, stretched out on that bed of agony? No thorn wreath yet crowns his boyish brow. No scourge has dealt its cruel smart. In hands and feet no nail prints show, no spear is planted in my heart. They have not yet set me for a sign, hung bare beneath the sunless sky, nor mixed the draught of gall and wine to mock my dying agony. The livelong night, the livelong day, my child, I travail for thy good. And for thy sake I hang always, self-crucified upon the cross, to witness to the living truth, to keep thee pure from sin's alloy. I cloud the sunshine of my youth. The man must suffer in the boy. Visions of unrepented sin, the forfeit crown, the eternal loss, lie deep within my sorrowing soul and nail my body to the cross. The livelong night, the livelong day, a child upon the cross I rest. All night I for my children pray. All day I woo them to my breast. Long years of toil and pain are mine ere I be lifted up to sky, where the cold paschal moonbeams shine at noon on darkened Calvary. Then will the thorn's wreath pierce my brow, the nail will fix me to the tree, and I shall hang as I do now, self-crucified for love of thee." We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.